We are privileged and honored to have our district superintendent, Pastor Paul Israelson, come and share with us this morning.
Well, it's great to be with you today. Would have liked to have been there in person when Pastor Matt invited me to come on April 5th. We didn't know at that point that we would be not able to get together due to the COVID-19 pandemic, but I'm with you today in digital form. My name is Paul Israelson. I currently serve as the District Superintendent for the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada Saskatchewan District, and been in the role since July. And it's funny, when you say yes to things, you never quite know what the future is going to hold, what it's going to look like. And so whether you're district superintendent or you're a new pastor, as your pastor is to you, life is always an adventure. There's always new things that happen, always new challenges. But I want to encourage you today that whether you're in a new situation or whether you've been part of the church for a long time, wherever you're at in the stage of life, you are where you are meant to be because God has placed you here for such a time as this. And so I want to share with you a few thoughts here today. And I don't know if you have kids, or maybe you're past the age of kids. Maybe you're glad you're past the age of kids. I don't know. Maybe you're just looking to have some. Maybe you don't have any at all. But I've got four. My oldest is 19. My youngest just turned 13. They're all in the teenage years. And yes, you can pray for me. But being a parent of children, I've had many experiences over the years. Or watching many children's movies, Disney, Pixar. We currently subscribe to Disney Plus because it's the realm that we're in. And one of those movies is called Rio, and it's a movie based on a blue macaw bird that found himself in Minnesota, of all places, raised by a local bookshop owner, and you know, just eventually a conservationist from Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, came up to Minnesota to say, "I'd love it if you'd bring your blue macaw, male blue macaw, down to our conservatory. We've got a female there, and we would like them to save their species because they're thought to be the only two known blue macaw birds." And so the story goes on that they find themselves down there, and you know, black market, you know, bird market and thievery kind of come into the story. But you know, these two blue macaw birds are trying to escape and get back to their blue wants to get back to his owner. And there's only one problem. Blue can't fly. You have a blue macaw bird that's raised in captivity, and it's never had to fly, never needed to fly. Had everything handed to him, always had the food that he wanted, always had a dry, you know, and warm place to be and to be raised. Why bother learning to fly? And the issue here is that as a bird, he's meant to fly. You know, this is kind of why he has wings. But why hasn't he chosen to fly? Well, simply because of comfort. He hasn't had to. Many bird species know that flying is important. If they can't fly, they can't escape predators and what have you. Flying is part of their ability for themselves to find food and what have you. Flying matters. And you see this especially in the life of an eagle. Eagles make lovely, are a lovely bird. They make these nests way up high and in the trees or on cliffs and what have you, to be safe from predators. And eventually they You know, they got to leave the nest. And so what an eagle will do when they're going to have eggs and they're going to raise young is that they're going to make this nest out of all kinds of wonderful things. Thorns and sharp sticks and sharp rocks and all that go into this nest. Well, that's, you might think that's a terrible way to make a nest, but they do it on purpose. And then they line the nest with feathers or fur of animals that they've killed or whatever that they can find that's soft. And they lay their eggs and they guard their eggs and the eggs hatch and you got the eaglets there that are growing and mom and dad are foraging for food. They're hunting and they're bringing back food and they're feeding these eaglets pretty regularly. And life is wonderful for the eaglets. That is until mom and dad decide they're not going to feed them as regularly. And the baby birds are getting a little hungry here. And it's even worse the day that mom and dad decide to stir up the nest. And they start taking out some of the fur and some of the feathers and the wool or whatever it is that they've scavenged and placed into the nest, exposing those sharp thorns and rocks and sticks. What's happening? Well, the mama bird and the papa bird are pushing the young out of the nest. Why? Because they know if they don't get out of the nest, if they don't learn to fly, they're never going to survive. Maybe you've heard this verse, and I would expect that you have, if you've been in church circles very long. If you haven't been, that's okay too. So in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, it says, "Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." It will soar on wings like eagles. Such a beautiful picture. The whole chapter, Isaiah 40, is really about comfort for God's people. And in the midst of difficulty, how many know we could use some comfort? And when you fly, when you soar over, you know, the land, you get in a plane and you take off. I mean, everything that was once so big now looks so small, right? I mean, there's something that happens when we fly that just changes our perception on everything. And God's desire for his people is not to be troubled by the things of this world, but to fly. Maybe not literally in the sense of flying over your problems, but at least figuratively, to move from the nest to the skies, to move from comfortable, casual believers to fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. And so what does God do to help us to fly? Well, he pushes us out of the nest. In Acts chapter 2, we find the birth really of the church. Jesus had died upon the cross, which we're celebrating in the Easter season here, that he died for our sins. He was buried in the tomb, on the third day rose again, and then in the days and weeks following his resurrection, he appeared to the disciples and to the followers, and then he commissioned his church that they should meet and be filled with the Holy Spirit and then go about sharing the good news with everybody around them. And Acts chapter 2 is very exciting. It's our bread and butter as Pentecostals. We love Acts chapter 2. The Spirit is poured out and tongues of fire and different, you know, people speaking in tongues and all these things going on. And out of that, we find that Peter preaches the gospel and 3,000 people are added to the church in a day. Talk about revival. And over the next few chapters, there's some challenges that the church seems to face. There's some opposition from without. There's some challenges from within. But by and large, the church is doing really, really well. That is until Acts chapter 7. And Acts chapter 7 is the story of Stephen, disciple of Jesus, being martyred, being put to death because of his faith. And Acts chapter 8, we find that things shift. On that day, Acts 8 verse 1 says, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Big trouble has come upon the church. A man by the name of Saul was standing there giving his approval to Stephen's death. We would know Saul later on as Paul, but Saul was spending his time right now hunting down Christians. Believers were scattered. Normal church services were interrupted. They couldn't gather publicly anymore. Is any of this kind of sounding familiar right now? Not the persecution side, but the limitation side? These were hard and uncertain days. And here we find ourselves in 2020 with some of these restrictions, though different, with the outbreak and the COVID-19 outbreak and the limitations and the church. Normalcy has gone away. It's not comfortable. It's difficult. It's out of sorts. It's not something maybe that we would want. I mean, if you look at the church culture that we have, I mean, we're really event oriented. We really like to have lots of things going on, lots of activities, lots of meetings that we go to and what have you. And now everything's just kind of slowed right down and everything's moved online. And for some, the first impulse is to say, I want it back how it was, you know, just put it back how it was. I just want to get back to life as it was normally. And thankfully we know that someday that will happen. But here we are right now. And life is disrupted and church is different. You know, when the early church was facing their difficulties and persecution, was happening and the church was scattered and everything was different. I have a question here. What did they do? What did they do when everything went sideways? Well, Acts 8:1, as we've already read, persecution breaks out against the church and all except the apostles are scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Chapter 2 and or verse 2 and 3 of that same passage, godly men buried Stephen, mourned deeply for him. Saul began to destroy the church, going house to house, dragging off both men and women, putting them into prison. Not easy days. Verse 4 tells us what they did. So all the believers stayed quiet, hoped the heat would die down so they could go back to normal life, right? No, that's not what happened at all. Verse 4 says this, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Those whose lives were totally disrupted, those who lost all sense of normalcy, didn't hunker down, didn't hide away, but found ways to go out sharing the gospel message, preaching wherever they went. They didn't stop, they didn't quit, they spread their wings, and they left the nest, and they soared. And what do we find happens? Philip goes to Samaria and people are getting saved. And then he's on a road and he encounters an Ethiopian and he shares the gospel with him and who takes the gospel down to Ethiopia. And Peter leaves Jerusalem, finds himself in Joppa and a centurion or a Gentile believer named Cornelius sends for Peter. And Peter shares the gospel and Cornelius gets saved. And people are coming to faith that wouldn't normally have come to faith because the church was no longer normal. So many crazy things start happening. Even Saul, this great persecutor of the church, comes to faith in Jesus and is renamed Paul the Apostle. Acts chapter 11, we pick up this story. Verse 19, now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Peter was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, Antioch, spreading the word only among the Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. And the Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. What happened? Well, I'll tell you what happened. The church happened. In the face of adversity, the church didn't shrink back. The church engaged. And what was the result? What do we find happened because the church didn't shrink back, because the church didn't hunker down and hide away, but rather engage? What do we find happened? People got saved. People found Jesus. People in the midst of hopeless situations found hope in Jesus. People came to know a family of believers. The church grew. I can probably say with absolute certainty that the religious leaders who were persecuting the church back in the day didn't imagine that their persecution of the church would actually lead to the growth of the church. That probably was not their ambition. In fact, I would say it was quite the opposite. I don't think that the devil, Satan, who is behind this persecution, had planned for the church to grow. His aim was for destruction. But God, in it all, in amidst the difficulty, in amidst the hardship, in amidst this uncomfortable situation, had a plan to see his children leave the nest and soar, to fly. Right now, in all around the world, we're contending with a virus, and it's disrupting life. It's causing great destruction, and for many people, it is the worst of destruction. Many people dying from it. It's heartbreaking. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of uncertainty. There's pain. You go out right now into even a grocery store, and you just sense a pervasive sense of anxiety. But in it all, God is still at work. In it all, God is still showing himself and revealing himself. Because I know this because what I've been hearing from church leaders all over this province is that there are more people that are joining their church right now through some sort of online experience, through connecting with people in different ways. People are having more conversations right now about church and about faith than people that wouldn't normally walk through your church doors are watching you online. Or I know this because right now there's more prayer going on in our district than I can remember in the last decade. People are calling prayer meetings. They're having Zoom prayer meetings. There's prayer happening. Our district pastors are praying twice a week right now, getting together and praying online and just connecting with each other and seeking God together, crying out to God for deliverance. I know that God's moving because there's more parents talking to their kids about what's happening in their world and about faith, and parents are now teaching their children and encouraging their children. And I know for my family, what we've done is we've gathered together on Sunday mornings or Saturday nights, whenever there's our church gathering services online, and we're worshiping together as a family and making it a decision to do this as a family. I know for some that doesn't necessarily work as well, but we're having these conversations after, saying, how did you feel about what you heard today? I have a chance to pastor my kids in another way. I know that God's on the move because in this situation, because there's more people right now that are having to slow down and rest than ever before. Normally we've got something happening almost every night of the week. This kid's got to go to this lesson, and this one's got that event, and then there's this thing at the school, and then you've got this work meeting, and your spouse is out to that, and just something always on the go. And right now people are stuck and they're waiting. This pandemic has disrupted everything. Everything else that we poured our lives into, everything else that we've leaned on, everything that we've put our security in has been shaken. And there's a desire among people right now all over the world to say, I want something that is solid, something certain, something real, anything that I can lean on. You see, church, I want to tell you that it's here in the midst of these great struggles that we find the evident invitation of God. In a world that is fearful, we can speak peace. In a world that is shaken, we can speak about the rock of refuge that we have in Jesus. In a world that needs answers, we have the truth of God's word. You know, everything looks so different. Church is different. This is church. Church is different. But I can tell you right now, the mission stays the same. You know, our preferences is that we can meet together and that we can sing together and we can shake people's hands and we can have a meal together and you know, all these preferences that we have when it comes to church. Preferences change. Preferences change, but the purpose of the church stays the same. And that purpose is that people will come to know Jesus Christ. I saw a Facebook meme the other day, and there's all kinds of them right now, but it said this, and I thought it was good. And it said, the church is not empty. It's just been deployed. The church is not empty. The church is still happening. You've just been deployed. You're not gathering in a room, but it doesn't mean the mission has changed. The mission is still the same. You've been deployed for Jesus. And so I want to leave you with three things. And just three things that you can do on your deployment. And the first is this. First of all, be at peace. Be at peace. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. I want to tell you that you cannot give what you don't have. And this is a world that needs peace right now. There's a lot of fear, there's a lot of anxiety all around happening, but let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. If you let that peace rule in your heart, guess what? You have something to give. You have something to minister out of. We need the peace of Christ to rule first and foremost in our hearts as believers so that we can have something to share with our world. The second thing is this, be in prayer. I know many of you are praying, but we need to pray. 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 4, I urge you then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, and intercession and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and for all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants what? God wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. We need to pray. We need to pray for those in authority. Pray for me, please. Pray for our government officials. Pray for our healthcare workers. Pray for your neighbor. Pray for your local grocer. Pray for your family members and so forth. Pray that in this time, in this crisis, that God will reveal himself, that God will be glorified, that people will come to know him. And finally is this. So we've said be at peace. We've said be in prayer. The third is be purposeful. Be purposeful. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. They didn't lose sight of the mission. They didn't lose sight of the purpose to which they were called. You know, we find ourselves right now in very unusual times, and people may bemoan that fact, and they may say, man, I just wish we were back to normal. I just wish we were, you know, I wish I didn't have to be in this day and age when everything's just going on as it is. My wife and I, we quite like the Lord of the Rings movies. I don't know, maybe you have lost respect for me even saying that. Maybe you say you've gained respect. I don't know. It doesn't really matter. We like the movies. And there's a scene in the first movie, The Fellowship of the Ring, where Frodo is bemoaning the fact that he has the ring, that this task has been entrusted to him. And he says, you know, I wish the ring had never come to me. I wish that none of this had happened. And Gandalf, who he's talking to, says, "So do all who live in such times. But that is not for them to decide. All you have to decide is what to do with the time that is given you." Well, I can tell you, church, you are here today for a reason. You're here today. This time and this season is yours. And God's not surprised by this. He has called you by name for such a time as this. You've been born for this time. And you're in the nest. And things are getting rough. And things are getting hard. Things are poking into you. And things are disrupting the comfortability of all that you've known. And right now the church is disrupted. Because all of life is disrupted. Our world is disrupted. It's not comfortable. But God has poised you for this place in such a time that you can spread your wings and you can fly. This is God's heart, that his church would not be immobilized, but his church would be purposeful. His church would be engaged. So wherever you find yourself, however your situation is, choose today to make the most of it. Choose to be at peace. God, I need your peace. Choose to be in prayer. God, help us. And choose purpose, that God would use you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that in all things, you are still on the throne. You're in charge. Lord, this pandemic does not surprise you. You're not shocked by it. You knew it was coming. You knew where we would all be. And yet, we are here for such a time as this. Lord, you have placed us here. You've called us by name. You know us. And Lord, in this moment, we have some real needs. Those who are watching this video have real needs. Some are facing employment challenges. Some are concerned about their own personal health and safety. Some are their kids are driving them crazy because they can't be at school. Whatever it is, Lord, you know it. And I pray that, Lord, in the midst of these uncomfortable circumstances, God, that you would help us to stretch the wings of faith in our lives and to fly. That we should mount up with wings like eagles. That we would not run and not grow weary. That we would walk and not faint. Lord, that we would not be troubled as the world is troubled. But Lord, that we would soar. We would fly. We would be people of faith in tough and difficult circumstances. And so, Lord, have your way. Have your way now. Move in this community. Move among our neighbors. Move in our nation, in our province. Lord, move all over this world. Be glorified. And may your church arise in this time of great difficulty. May you empower your church for mission, unique as it is, socially or physically distant, at least, and as it is. Help us to be engaged. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.